Good evening, everyone. Can you hear me? Yes. Anyone who would like to listen? Yes? Okay, so I don't need a microphone. Okay, if Rabbi Adler does not have a suit and a jacket, only a tie, that's fine with me. Okay, perfect. Thank you.
I didn't wear a jacket because I knew you weren't going to wear a tie.
So the thing is, first, thank you very much, Rabbi Adler, for the kind invitation and the warm introduction. And also for thanking all the sponsors, but really special thanks to Charlie and Joanne Bacall for being dreamers, being visionaries, and implementers. It started like a few months ago. Maybe you should come to Teaneck. I said, I have no idea where is Teaneck. I know only where is Memphis. Memphis is the center of the universe. I don't know what is Teaneck. So Teaneck is an out-of-town community. So I heard the out-of-town community. I'll come and I'll really. So thank you very, very much. And it's really a pleasure to be with you as well. It's also a pleasure to be with so many people that I know. Many of them are really attending the Nitzanim Shul in Baca. It's great to see you. And some of them came really from near and far. So really, I appreciate it very much. And also some people from Memphis Connections. So it's really, really beautiful to be with you all. Y'all, as you can understand from Memphis. Okay. So our topic is a serious one. It will take us through a journey in Jewish history, which do you mind if I would just stand here? Can you hear? Okay, good. I hope it can record. We'll put it right here. Okay. It will take us through a journey through Jewish history, which I hope will shake our minds and our hearts. It's going to cause us to pose a few questions that might even shake our ethical conscience and really will make us wonder about some of the halachic justification that we will try to find to acts of Kiddush Hashem. When we talk about Kiddush Hashem, the sanctification of the name of God, so take a look first at the first source, at the Rambam in the Hilchot Yesodei HaTorah. I will read it in Hebrew, translate it into English, and if it's not suffice, you can have the English translation right there. The Rambam says the following. Kol Bet Yisrael, Rambam Yisodei HaTorah, Perek Hei Halacha Aleph, Kol Bet Yisrael Metzuvim Al Kiddush Hashem. The entire Jewish people are commanded to sanctify the great name of Hashem, Sheneemar, Venikdashti Betoch Bnei Yisrael, and I shall be sanctified among the Jewish people. Umuzharim Shelo Lechalelo, and they are being warned, there is an azhara not to desecrate his name. Sheneemar ve'lo techalelu et shem kodshi, and you shall not desecrate my name. Now, it's very general. There are no really specifications. There is also, what is missing is a definition. What does it mean to sanctify the name of Hashem? What does it mean to desecrate the name of Hashem? You know, lately, when a person stands up, you know, in the bus for an older lady or an older person and gives him his seat, what do we say? Astach kiddush Hashem. When you say something like that about, you know, just getting up from your chair to give your chair to an old lady, and now we're going to look at what people did in the time of the Crusaders, it's a little bit of a problem. It's a little bit of the abuse of the term mensch. You know, everyone now is what? Is a mensch. And the real mensches are, I don't know, super mensch? Now everything is super, like super size. But it's really, sometimes you have terms that are being abused and they lose a little bit of their meaning. But what we have from the Rambam, we have two things. A, we obviously have the idea, the positive mitzvah to sanctify the name of Hashem, and the isur to desecrate his name, but we are missing definitions for Kiddush Hashem. What does it mean? When does it apply? Who defines it? So, take a look at the Edut of Rabbi Shlomo, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Natan, the Ravan, in the 12th century. As we know, Masa'ei Atzlav, the Crusades, basically began in 1096, if I'm not mistaken, and ended around the end of the 13th century. Different places, different times, but caused tremendous calamities and destruction for the Jewish communities. And there is a testimony that it's really horrible. V'otah shana, Era Pesach b'chamishi b'shabbat. On that year, Pesach fell on Thursday. V'chodesh Iyar yom shishi b'shabbat. And the month of Iyar was Friday and Shabbat. V'beshmona b'Iyar, and on the 8th of Iyar, b'yom ha'shabbat, Esof Iyar Shabbat, Kamu Ha'Oyvim Al Kal Shpaira, Ve'Yahargu Bahem 11 Nefashot Kedoshot Asher Kidshu Boram Tchila Biyom Shabbat Kodesh, Ve'Lo'avu Leitzachen Betzachanatam. So they came to Spira, one of the communities that we lament on them when, during Kinot, they are called Kinot Shum, and they killed 10 holy souls. ושם הייתה אישה חשובה וחסידה. There was a very righteous woman and a pious woman. ושחטה עצמה על קידוש השם. And what did she do? She slaughtered herself. She killed herself. Which means what? The other 10 passively were killed. But she was the first one to do what? To actively kill herself. In order not to be forced for false conversion or to be killed by the crusaders. והיא הייתה ראשונה לשוחטים ונשחטים אשר בכל הקהילות. She was a role model. It's interesting. The focus, the highlight on that little woman that she's unnamed. It's very interesting. It's not because of הדרת נשים. Okay. I'm not sure even if they knew her name. והנשארים ניצלו על ידי ההגמון ולא צחו. And the rest of them were saved by the הגמון, the clerk, or the priest, who saved some of this little Jewish community. ובקו ג' באייר, קמו על קהל בר מיסה, ומהם ששלחו יד בעצמם וקיימו אם על הבנים רוטשה, ואב על בניו נפל, כי נשחטו עליהם ושחטו איש אחי ואיש את קרובו ואשתו ובניו, וגם חתנים ארוסותיהם ונשים רחמניות את יחידיהן. Now we have a progress. Eight of Iyar was what? 10 holy souls were killed while they are passively being killed. The day later, you have a woman who killed herself. And what do we have on the 23rd of Iyar already? People are killing each other. People are murdering each other. ונשים רחמניות את יחידיהן. Which means what? Mothers are killing what? Their children. Passive. Actively killing myself and now actively killing others. ואז עמד בחור אחד בשמו שמחה הכהן. And then there is a young man. His name was Simcha HaKohen. כשראה שמוליכים אותו לבית הרחותם, שתת עד בואו לשם. So he was basically, I guess he was gathered with a group, and they took them to the church in order to convert them. And he's quiet, he doesn't say anything. ויהי בבואו שמה הוציא סכין מבית יד שלו. So he took a knife from his pocket. והרג בו שר אחד נכדו של ההגמון, and he killed whom? The priest's grandson. ומיד עשו מגופו חתיכות חתיכות. And obviously they jumped on him and what? And cut him into pieces. ועליו ועל כיוצא בו נאמר ואוהביו כצאת השמש בגבורתו. ועל אלו הצדיקים אתונן כנים וני אל. And on these righteous people I will lament and I will cry out and I will mourn because of those righteous people. Now it's interesting. This lady that killed herself, how much bread did she receive from 1 to 10?
Nothing.
Let's give her 3. This Simcha HaKohen, he gets what? He gets 9.5 at least. Now, what's the difference between what he did and what she did? By the way, for those who don't know me, some of you do. You cannot fall asleep, I'm sorry. You came for an hour, nap time, so. It's interactive, so I'm going to ask questions. For those people who I know their names, be careful. Okay? So the thing is what? Is what is the difference between this Isha Tzadika and Simcha HaKohen? Why Simcha HaKohen gets 9.5 praise?
He fought back.
Okay, he rebelled. Now, do you think it kindled some kind of a revolution? The answer is, no, Jews really did not stand up for themselves. Probably until when? Ghetto Warsaw, in 1943, April 1943. The idea is, do you see the evolution? Passive, active, killing others, and putting yourself in a situation that you know for sure you are going to be butchered, but you're going to what? To stand up for yourself. כי היו דוחקים זה את זה ואיש את רעהו לאמור אני אקדש תחילה שמו של מלך מלכי המלכים הקדוש ברוך הוא. They fought with each other who is going to be killed first in order to sanctify the name of Hashem. Did that sound Jewish? וגם הנשים הטהורות, even the pure women, בנות מלכים, היו זורקות את המעות והכסף בעד החלונות אל האויבים כדי שיהיו טרודים ללקט הממון ולעקבן מעט עד שיגמרו שחיטתם. The women will throw coins and will throw, I guess, jewelry. So the crowd, the masses, the mob will be busy collecting the coins. עד שיגמרו שחיטתם בניהם ובנותיהם, until they will finish slaughtering their children. וידי נשים רחמניות שחטו ילדיהם. This is a testimony from the 12th century. כדי לעשות רצון יוצרם. They slaughter their children, thinking or believing that they are doing whose will? God's will. So obviously we need to try to find the halachic source for it, right? Where in halacha we are expected to do what? I'm sorry, I'm going to back to you, Robert. Where did we find in halacha a source that you need to slaughter your children? And that's Retzon Bori. I thought Retzon Bori, the will of my Creator, is that I will stay alive. There are only three Averot Hamuot that you need to what? To give up your Chaim. What exactly is going on here? Why did they think that this is Retzon Yotzram? That this is the will of their Creator? כך מסופר גם על אם אשר שחטה את ארבע לילדיה. It's also, there is a story about a mother that killed four of her children. ולא נענתה לתחנוניהם לחוס עליהם. And they begged for mercy. And she ignored them. וכשהערלים באו, דרשו ממנה להראות להם את הממון שבידיה. I guess she was not able to kill herself yet. And the mob came into the house, or to the shul, or whatever it was. והנה ראו את הילדים ואינם שחוטים. Meaning the most precious treasure that she had was her children. And they were slaughtered. So now, we have a problem. And I'm saying we have a problem, not because I want to throw my monkey on you and my problem on you, but we, as Jews, now have a problem. We have a minhag, so to speak, that became a very common custom in those communities who face the Crusaders, that not only were willing passively to be killed, but many of them committed suicide for themselves, by themselves. Many of them slaughtered their own children in order not to fall into the hands of the Crusaders. And obviously, now we'll put the hat, the halachic hat, the question that we must ask is, מאיפה המקור לדין הזה, או למנהג הזה, which means, where is the source for something like this? So take a look at the Gemara in Avodah Zara, Daf Yud-Chet Amud Aleph. That's page 2. Second page. Amru. Lo hayu yamim mu'atim ad shenifta Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma ve'alchu kol gdolei Romi lekavro ve'ispidu espet gadol. So Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma passed away and the people of Rome, the important people of the Roman Empire went to his funeral and went to what? To eulogize him. Hespet Gadol, a great eulogy, which means what? Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma was very friendly with the Roman government. You will not find the Roman government and their ministers going to everyone's funeral. Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma was probably very friendly with them. ובחזרתן
מצאו לרבי חנניה בן תרדיון שהיה יושב ועוסק בתורה ומקיל קילות ברבים, וספר תורה מונח לו בחיקו.
When they came back from the funeral, they saw רבי חנניה בן תרדיון sit and learn Torah. Now, do you think רבי חנניה בן תרדיון went to the funeral? I know it's a side question, but it's an interesting one. Not only because I'm interested in rabbinic politics, but because of something else.
Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma was very close to whom? To the Roman government. Rabbi Hananya ben Tradion is violating the Roman decree against Torah learning, and he's doing that in public, knowing that he's exactly on the same street when the Roman delegation is coming back, is returning. So, הביאו וקרחו בספר תורה והקיפו בחבילי זמורות והציתו בהן את האור, והביאו ספוגים של צמר ושראום במים, והניחו מליבו כדי שלא תהה נשבתו יוצאת במהרה. Which means what? They got so upset with him, and they tortured him to death. Basically, they created a situation that he will die very, very slowly.
אמרה לו ביתו, אבא, הראה בכך?
So his daughter saw him suffering, and she says to him, should I see you like that? אמר לה, אלמלא אני נשרפתי לבדי, if it was only me being burnt like that, היה הדבר קשה לי, so it would be difficult for me, אבל עכשיו, שספר התורה נשרף עם me, but now when the Torah is being burnt with me, מי שמבקש את בונה של ספר תורה, יתבע את בונו שלי גם, which means Hashem, who is going to what? To demand the disgrace of the Torah, is going to demand or to request my honor as well.
אמרו לו תלמידיו, רבי, מה אתה רואה?
So his students asked him, רבי, what do you see? I don't know if they will ask me that for a bit in such a situation. I will say, אני רואה כוכבים. I will be very honest, fully understood this Talmudic paragraph. I mean, the guy is like under the fire, and he can have a conversation, but let's leave that aside. I want the message, I want the lesson from this Gemara.
אמר להם, גיליון נשרפים ואותיות פורחות.
So he said to them, I see those letters are flying everywhere.
אמרו לו, אף אתה פתח פיך, ותיכנס בך אסו. They told him, open your mouth, the fire will come in, and then you will die.
Now, the problem with that is that they just talked to him a minute ago. How did he talk? He opened his mouth.
So, again, I not fully understand the Talmudic paragraph, the Agadah,
but basically now we are getting into what I want. They tell him what? To commit suicide, or alternatively to speed it up, to accelerate the death. You're already going to die, so just remove the obstacle, quote unquote, and die.
אמר להם, מוטב שיתלנה מי שנתנה ואל יחבלו בעצמו. It's better that God gave me the נשמה, he will take it, and I will not do anything actively.
אמר לו קלצינטונירי, this is the executor.
רבי, אם אני מרבה בשלבת ונוטל ספוגים של צמר מעל לבך, אתה מביאני לחיי העולם הבא?
So this guy, the executor, says to him, look, if I put a little bit more fire and I remove the obstacle, those wool that was dipped with water, so I guess it stopped, but that was the obstacle for him to die quickly. If I will remove the obstacle, would you bring me to Olam Abba? So Rav Hananya ben Tradion said what? I guess he didn't say it, he just nodded his head, because he was opening up his mouth, right? So he said yes. Nishbalo, miyad irba b'shalhevet v'natal sfogim shel tzemer, ali bo yatsa nishmato b'tar. Okay, so he did it, and he died. And then there is another story. What's the problem? What is the problem from this Gemara to the testimony that we just read from the 12th century?
Sorry,
In Italian, in a minute there was an answer. Okay, yes.
He allowed the institution to accelerate his death.
Ah, okay.
He played a passive role, but it was somewhat active.
Okay, he played a passive role that was somewhat active. Okay. Nathan, hello.
So according to Ratananya Bhaktarjuna, answering his students, he says that I can't accelerate it. Better that I should let Akadosh Baruch Hu do what he's going to do rather than me accelerate.
Okay, so you see that he himself did not want to do anything to speed up his death. Definitely that he did not quote-unquote commit suicide. He only allowed Tuah to remove the obstacle. By the way, this Gemara is one of the principles in the conversation about euthanasia.
Euthanasia,
I'm being brief. Okay? The idea of removing the obstacle versus actively killing someone. Okay, but that's for a different class. The idea is, according to this Gemara, and this is a huge contradiction to what we read before, you are not allowed to kill yourself. The only thing you are allowed to do is what? Is to remove the obstacle, and even that, he didn't want to do it by himself. Only someone else, and I'm not sure if this exact, the guy who wanted to kill the man.
Executioner.
Was he Jewish? Was he not Jewish? I'm not sure. This also can be an halachic application. But the idea is, this is a full contradiction to what we're reading. Yes?
Does mutav really imply asur?
The what?
Does mutav really imply asur?
No. No. Mutav will be like it's better. It's not a isur. Perhaps, by the way, Rabbi Hanina ben Tradion was very stringent with himself and not with others. But still, even if we don't say it's asur, he's still only passively. To actively kill myself or to kill others, man dechar shmei. We don't even talk about it. Oh, wow, okay. Yes, 1, 2, 3, Oshia, et, amecha, uvarech. Yes.
So, interestingly, you raised the issue if the executioner was Jewish, then in fact, by bringing him to Olam Haba, he's performing a mitzvah as his final act, and maybe that was his permission, so to speak.
Redemptive act.
A redemptive act.
Yeah. How did you go out here to the Ganeda? No, I killed Rav Hanan Ben Tradion. Okay, welcome. Welcome to the Ganeda. More than welcome, right. Okay, yes.
The question is whether he was allowed to put himself in a situation where he would be killed. This is not one of the three cardinal violations.
Very good. Rav Hanan Ben Tradion, with all the respect, tremendous respect that we have for him and for the Torah that he taught us, he put himself in danger. Very similar to whom? Rabbi Akiva, also. But now, we need to try to find the link between them. You are talking about Sha'at Shman. What is Sha'at Shman? Sha'at Shman is a time where you basically, according to the Gemara, you even give your neshama on Arata Demestana, the way you tie your shoes. The way I tie my shoes? That's why I don't have. Yeah, like it's people. So the thing is that you need to give your life for even the way you tie your shoes. So Sha'at Ha has perhaps different regulations, laws, or even divine expectations. So that you also need to take that into consideration. There was an Amecha here. Yes?
He says to his students, it's up to God. He might be reading the tea leaves. Here. I mean, a Roman executioner who says to a Rebbe, I want to go to Olam Haba, if I do this, can I come? I mean, that's pretty wild. That you might have seen the hand of God in that order.
Okay, very good. So, you're talking about, what did we say, God walks in mysterious ways. Yes, so maybe the agent, the Shaliach, was this Roman executioner. Yes?
Well, I think there's a distinction between his defying the enemies and learning Torah, the Rabbin, and being an example, as opposed to shorting his life at the end.
Elaborate on that a bit.
He goes to Kadesh Yim Shemayim by learning Torah. Having himself killed early, or die early, is not necessarily Kiddush Hashem.
Aha. So you're saying putting himself in that situation was Kiddush Hashem? But shortening his life at the end was not Kiddush Hashem, and that's why he didn't want to do it. Okay. Now, what I'm going to do is that what I don't like to do to myself, but I'm sorry, I'm going to do it for you. I'm not going to dwell that source to try to analyze the source itself, but just to take only one thing. According to all interpretations, we know one thing for sure. Rav Hananel ben Tradion said what? The maximum that you can do, at least from his view, and if I take Mutav S, that should be the law, is what? Only to remove an obstacle. But not actively to be involved with what? With killing oneself, and definitely not to kill children. Okay. Therefore, take a look please on page number 3. Tosfot, who, by the way, lived in the time of the Crusades, not all of them, but yeah, Tosfot lived a little bit longer than that, but most of them were in the same time. Omer Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Tam for sure. Omer Rabbeinu Tam, based on the Gemara, the Al Yechabel Be'atzmo, that someone should not harm himself, says Tosfot. Omer Rabbeinu Tam, Deheka sheyereim pen yaavirum ovdei kochavim le'avera כגון על ידי איסורין שלא יוכל לעמוד בהם, אז הוא מצווה מצווה לחבל בעצמו. כי היי דגיטין, that Rav Adler just mentioned, גבי ילדים שנשבו לקלון שהטילו עצמם לים. Tosfot says the point. He says that when you are faced with what? With עובדי כוכבים, idol worshippers, that are going to torture you, in such way that you will not be able to do what? To withstand the torture. And out of that torture, what will happen to you? Not that you're going to die. You're going to what? To convert. Then, mitzvah lechabel be'atzmo. What is mitzvah lechabel be'atzmo? There is a commandment to what? To kill yourself. And he's going, and we're going to analyze in a few minutes this Gemara, and he's going to bring a proof from this Gemara of those children that were captured and were sent for sexual abuse. But let's pause for a second. Let's try to understand the dilemma. What was the dilemma? The dilemma that Rabbeinu Tam had to deal with was what? The reality that he lived in, which was what? Jews are giving their lives actively. They are committing suicide in order not to fall into the hands of the Crusaders. Some of them even kill their children. But Tosfot, who was a scholar, knew the Gemara in Avodah Zarah that says what? That the max that you can do is removing the obstacle. So how do I reconcile the contradiction? Answer: the Gemara in Avodah Zarah is only if what? If you are able to overcome the torture. But if you can't, by the way, in the 11th, 12th, and 13th century, those crusaders were very innovative and very creative in matters of torture, and you will not be able to overcome, and then you will convert into Christianity, so then you are allowed to what? Lechabel be'atzmo. That's how he reconciled reality versus a source. Now, just to say it like that, he couldn't. He had to what? To substantiate it. So he found a source in the Gemara in Gittin that we will see in a few minutes that we will need to analyze. Because with all due respect, it is not so clear that there is an hochacha, a proof from this Gemara. Okay, so let's keep that aside for a second. Take a look at the Ritva. The Ritva, who was in the 13th, 14th century in Spain. Now, Spain is also a very Christian country. However, in that time, it's nicht gefährlich for Jews. It's not too bad. And he says the following. Ha de amrinan bahagada. De Rabbi Hanina ben Tradion amar mutar shiitzen ha mishen etana velo lechbol be'atzmi. He brings the Gemara that we brought from Avodah Zarah. Katu begilyone Tosfot sheya omer Rabbeinu Tam de'eicha shemityare שלא יכריחו לעבור על דת, מותר לחבול בעצמו. He brings the Gideonei Tosfot. But don't forget, the Ritva did not have a full Tosfot like what we have today. He had what? Kuntrasim. What are Kuntrasim? Like those books. And it says that he saw, in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, that when he is afraid that he will be forced to convert to Christianity. What's the difference between the Ritva and Rabbeinu Tam? Take a look. What does he say? שלא יכריחו לעבור על דת. Second fourth line. מותר לחבול בעצמו. What did we see?
מצווה.
Ah, what's the difference between מצווה and מותר, Nathan?
Whether we're obligated or permitted.
Ah. So if I'm only permitted and I don't do it, so I desecrated the name of God?
No.
Makara. What exactly happened here? Now, perhaps the Ritva saw only Mutar. Maybe Rabbeinu Tam also changed his mind. Maybe a Talmid didn't hear exactly what Rabbeinu Tam said, and he says Mutar instead of Mitzvah. Maybe there was a typo. Many things can happen. But also it can be that it fits the reality of Rabbeinu Tam, or how much the Ritva was able to digest based on the Gemara in Abu Dazar. And then he says, ואף היית במדרש, תכתיב אחרי דינכם לנפשותיכם את ראש, מכאן הזרה לאדם שלא יכול בעצמו, יכול אפילו כשאול מלך ישראל, תראו שחבל בעצמו מפני שהיה מתיירא שמה יעברו על דת, I will translate in a minute. תלמוד לומר אך מעט, ובחיהי גב נשארי. Now this midrash, because we don't have all the time in the world, I'm just going to highlight it, but we're not going to elaborate on it too much. The midrash tried to interpret the pasuk in Parashat Noach, "Ach edimchem menafshotechem edorosh," which means what? I will demand your blood from your own souls. I will demand it. What does that mean? Mikan azara, there is a prohibition not to, what is lachvol be'atzmo, not to harm yourself. So then the midrash asks the question. One second, what about Shaul? Do we know the story about Shaul?
Yeah.
Okay. Shaul HaMelech killed himself. He asked his servant to do it for himself, and he didn't, so he did it for himself. There is a little bit of discrepancy, because after that, the Gera HaMaleki comes to David HaMelech and has a little bit of a different story. That's a Tanakh question now. But Shaul HaMelech killed himself. So how can you justify? So the Midrash says that the Shaul HaMelech is an exception. Why is he an exception? We will deal with it. But really, everyone else is not allowed, but Shaul HaMelech was allowed. Now, was Shaul a prototype of heter, of permission, or not? That we're going to discuss a little bit later. From here, says the Ritva, Rabbi Yom Tov Ben Aderet, ומכאן לומדים לשחוט הנערים בגזירות מפני העברת הדת. Says, many rabbis learn from Shaul HaMelech to kill, what is the נערים? The children. Because they are afraid from forced conversion. והם דברים שצריכים תלמוד ועיון גדול, says the Ritva. Which means what? Those things are not light matters. They need a real discussion. אלא שכבר הורה זקן. But what can I do? רבינו תם already said what? That's a מצווה או מותר לחבול בעצמו. This is, by the way, just as a side note. You can see there was a tremendous kavod, tremendous respect to Hasidei Ashkenaz, to the righteous people of Ashkenaz, to the pious people of Ashkenaz, because they masru nafsham al kiddushat Hashem. Sometimes we find things from Hasidei Ashkenaz that are very hard to substantiate halakhically, but we don't question it. You see the Ritva is struggling to find the halakhic justification. He barely can find something, but he's not happy with it. He says, צריך עיון גדול. You really need to delve into the situation. But he says, what can I do? I'm not going to question it too much. Rabbeinu Tam already said something. Yes?
So, would that be a reason? Would the response favored here be, in light of your position, training in the believer, that the Spartan Jews did not kill themselves or commit suicide? It just wasn't being done. Would it be on this basis?
A, it might, even though he was really ahead of his time. B, what we also can say is Sephardic Psika. Do we have Sephardim in the room? You're going to love me. Do we have Ashkenazim in the room? You're going to have the opposite feelings right now. Okay? Sephardim in the room. Sephardic Psika was always much more practical. Ashkenazim, we love to suffer. Give me a time to suffer and we're going to celebrate. Right? This is a real interesting difference between Psika Ashkenazit and Psika Sfaradit. We definitely see it in Arsota Islam, Mamash Islam, the Islamic countries. Unfortunately today, when they got to Israel, they want to become Ashkenazim. But the thing is that this is really a different shiur, not for today. But yes, going back to the question, it might be that A, because the sources were not as strong to have a chiyuv, to have an obligation to give up your life at that. And also, it might be that the difference in the centuries. You're talking about kilot ketanot. Now, when we're talking about kilot shum, we're not talking about tens of thousands of people. So people think that when we read the Lamentations, the kilot, we're talking about 20,000 Jews. Even one, don't get me wrong, even one Jew is olam umlo'o. But we're not talking about 20, but in Spain, you're talking about thousands, tens of thousands of Jews, obviously create a different scenario. Okay, now, until when do we have? Because I don't want to...
Until
I'm finished. What's your name? We are taking her to Israel. Okay, so I'll take two questions, but like three questions. Yes.
I have a practical question. How did they know that they were going to be killed in the very first source? After the 11 people died, somebody saved the rest of the community. So it seems that they may have been jumping the gun. And especially in the character of Ben Tragic, he was dying. He knew he was going to die. He was 100% sure. And yet he wouldn't kill himself. And yet there are people killing children when there's still the possibility of being saved.
Perfect.
Seeing the first source.
Perfect. Do you mind that I put you on hold? Okay, enjoy the music. We will get exactly to your point. Very, very good. Very good. You see a clear distinction between immediate death and it might be not, right? How can you already make the decision to slaughter someone? Maybe they will change their mind. Maybe they will let them go. You know what? Maybe somehow this child will be able to escape. Very good. Okay.
The first Talmud uses the lashon to prevent them from doing an avera, which is often a euphemism for rape, God forbid.
But there is more idol worshiping.
No, but the second one says idol worship. Is it not? Because we know the Gemara, it's a mitzvah to prevent somebody from being killed or raped. It's not a mitzvah to prevent somebody from worshiping idols. You can't kill them.
It's also true.
So the second one is why the rhythm may be troubled, because it's the object. What is the object?
It might be. Yeah. So we basically doing something that we don't want to do. We are weakening the source. Mm-hmm. It's really now the question that we now have on the testimony that we brought from the 12th century is huge. There is basically almost no source. Okay. Take a look at the Aguda. The Aguda of Alexandri Zevislina Kohen was in Germany towards the end of the 13th century. He died on Kiddush Hashem, Befraot HaMavet HaShachor, but that was in the 13th book. Okay, so he says the following. Mutav sheitlena mishen etana ba'al yachbol be'atzmo. That's what Rav Chananya ben Tradion said, that it's better that God will take my neshama and I'm not going to do it on my own. Hane mi kesheyodea be'atzmo sheyachol lisbol ha'isurim. Aval ata be'idan ha'gzirot mutar la'hog et atzmo shelo yavo lidei nisayon. The Aguda already felt what he said. What's your name? Sorry.
Joseph.
Joseph, thank you.
The Aguda already sends what Joseph is about to say. He says, one second. How can I allow it? There is a clear distinction between Rav Hanan Ben Tradion and this one. So what does he do? He says, look,
if you don't think that you will be able to overcome this trial, you can kill yourself. But they even didn't even stop. You see the Crusaders from afar, you are afraid, you are concerned, you don't want to stop, jump. Now, by the way, if we take this thought of the Aguda and we implement it in other cases, we are in big trouble. He is opening a Pandora box. Think about it. Not only physically, think about it psychologically, emotionally. We are talking about open door for what? Every time I don't think I can handle it, let's jump, God forbid. So this is a very quote-unquote dangerous source that we need to take into consideration. But that's what the Aguda says. Yes?
They knew that the Crusaders were killing people in their cities. So it wasn't like it's the first city they killed.
Okay. That's a remark that I really don't know how to respond, because I don't know the level and the frequency of communication between the cities. I have no idea. There was no like here selfie, you know, with the destroyed community, here post it on Facebook and I know it, you know, a minute later. I really don't know. I can assume that rumors already got there. Yes. Okay. So now let's analyze the source from the Gemara and Gittin. So until now, what do we have? We have some kind of a halachic justification that Rabbeinu Tam is trying to create. The Ritva is not happy with it, but he's not going to challenge Rabbeinu Tam too much because Varhora Zaken. We have the Aguda in Germany, who is also trying to basically justify it to the extent that what? That even before you are even trialed, you can do what? Jump. Says the Gemara. Tana. Maseh Be'arba'mot, that's on page number 3, last source, on page number 3. Tana. Maseh Be'arba'mot yeladim viladot shenishbu lekalon, there are 400 children, boys and girls, that were captured for kalon. Yirgishu be'atzman lemayim mitbakshim. So immediately they realize they are going to be all sexually abused. They're not going to die yet. They might. But the first thing, it's what? Sexual abuse. Amru, imanu tovim bayam, anu bayim lechayei olam haba. So they ask, I guess the oldest of that group, if we're going to jump, really jump ship, okay? Are we going to what? To go to Olam Haba. The Rashlaim HaGadol Shebein, so the older or the most scholarly child said to them, Amar Hashem Mibashan Ashiv, Ashiv Mimtzulot Yam, Mibashan Ashiv, Mibben Shinei Ari Ashiv, Mimtzulot Yam Ashiv, Elu Shetobim Bayam. So he took a pasuk that has nothing to do with your case, by the way. Ashiv Mimtzulot Yam, that I will bring you back from where? From the depth of the ocean. Which means what? I don't know, it can mean many things to many people. But this child decided that it talks about their case, which is what? If we jump into the ocean, God is going to what? To pick us up and bring us to Olam Haba. כיוון ששמעו ילדות כך, קפצו כולן ונפלו לתוך הים. Immediately when the girls heard that speech, they jumped. By the way, do you see something interesting here? Who was the first one? A woman. It's a very interesting thing. The woman in the 11th century and 12th century, those are these ילדות, who were the first one to jump. נשאו ילדים קל וחומר בעצמם ואמרו מעלנו שדרכם לכך כך אנו שאין דרכנו לכך עשה כמה וכמה אף הם קפצו לתוך הים. So the boys said to themselves, look, I'm going to say it in a politically correct way, I have no idea, maybe I will just let you read the translation by yourself and I will move on. Basically the girls were the role models for the boys and the boys decided to do the same because they definitely realized that that's the right thing to do. Wow, I can be a diplomat. Very good. Okay. But we have a problem. What's the problem? First and foremost, they were put on that boat knowing or thinking they are going to be sexually abused. Now, Sexually abused is a terrible, horrible, nora v'ayom thing. Is that there? Don't give me now a psychological analysis, to, you know. Is that death in a physical definition? Answer is no. Is there a potential of death? Sure, one of the owners of that child, of those children, can sexually abuse them. After that, he will hate them and then he will kill them. Yes, but there is still time. There is a tremendous amount of time between the boat and until they're going to be killed. And what did they do? They killed themselves. They committed suicide. So A, I have a problem with there is no immediate death, Joseph, as you said. B, when you compare it to the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, what's the contradiction? Rav Hanania ben Radion, if he would think exactly like those children, what should he have done? Jump into the fire. And he can say what? Ashim nimtzulot esh. God is going to return me from what? From the fire. But he didn't. So now I have a problem. Rav Hanania ben Radion versus a child. How do we reconcile? Take a look at Tosfot. At the first third of page number 4, said the following. קפצו כולנו ונפלו לתוך הים, והא אמר במסכת עבודה זרה מוטב שיתלנה מי שנתנה ואל יחבל בעצמו. This is one second. The Talmud in עבודה זרה said what? That you cannot take your own life. And here they did. אך היראים היו מייסורים. They were afraid of what? Of being tortured. Now this is one of the most subjective answers I ever heard. Rav Hanania ben Radion, I guess, was apathetic to suffering. Well, he didn't suffer, he definitely did not enjoy it, but he was apathetic to it, he didn't care, so therefore he couldn't kill himself. But they, even though they were not abused yet, they were on a boat. Because they were afraid of what is coming, they were allowed to what? To jump. Where is the source for it? There is no source. Rabbeinu Tam could not find a way to reconcile the Talmudim, the Sugiyot. And therefore, what did he do? He created what we call Chalukah. Tosfot's Shita, Tosfot's approach to Gemara is, he always tried to basically reconcile all the Gemarot together and to create one text. Now, when you do it, you compromise. But there are times that Tosfot cannot reconcile contradictions. And what does he do? He creates a Chalukah, a distinction. Okay, this Gemara talks about case A, this other Gemara talks about case B. That's exactly what Tosfot is trying to do now. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, it's for people who can handle Yisurim. If you can handle torture, you cannot kill yourself. If you can't, you can jump even before you have been tortured. So, Ravada, you are the Maradaka. What should I do? We should put you through a little test. Let me cut your finger. No. Okay, you can jump. What? This is a subjective answer that Tosfot was forced to give in order not to what? To pick one Gemara. Because the other option is, if I cannot reconcile them and I cannot distinguish them, I need to choose. And if I will choose the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, I will not be able to justify the Gemara in Gittin. If I will choose the Gemara in Gittin, I will not be able to justify the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Why not to choose the Gemara in Gittin? Because with all due respect, you have a child versus Rav Hanania ben Radion. This is what we call Malkodet Chachamim. Oh, yeah. Do you play chess? Anyone here? Shachmat. Shachmat Mesachim? Okay, who plays Shachmat here? Okay, well, maybe we can play after. There's something to do tonight. There is what they call Mahalach, that's called Mazleg. What is the Mazleg? A fork. Which means whatever you do, you're going to lose. You're going to lose one piece. That's exactly what happened to Rabbeinu Tam. But then he gives another answer. He says, Ve'od, De'al kochach hayu me'anim otam, ve'lo hayu orgim otam. Dostota comes here with a different view. He says, one second. Rav Chanan ben Radion, yeah, he would suffer. How long? Another 5 years he will be dead. Those children will have constant abuse, constant suffering, until they will be killed. Therefore, they could jump. And that's Rav Chanan ben Radion. Exactly the opposite. Hapuch. As we say in Israel, hapuch al? Hapuch al hapuch. Very good. Hapuch al hapuch. Which means what? Now we totally reverse the idea. Rav Hananya ben Radion could not. Now Mutab, according to this explanation, would be asur. He was not allowed to jump into the fire. Why? Because you are about to die in 5 minutes. So just wait, and then you will die. The children, on the other hand, because they knew it's going to be a constant suffering, they were allowed, or even mitzvah, or maybe it was even a mitzvah to do what? To jump to the sea.
Okay. I will skip the Agudah for now, and I'll go to the Maharam Mirotenburg. The Maharam Mirotenburg, who lived in the 13th century, 14th century later on, basically he was a symbol to some extent of Kiddush Hashem. As you know, he was captured. They asked for a tremendous amount of money to ransom him, and he said to the community, don't do it. He died in prison. And one of the wealthiest people in the community ransomed his bones with one condition, that he will be buried with him. He paid tremendous amount of money. The Maharam Mirotenburg was really Resh Galuta. He was the halachic decisor. And after the Maharam Mirotenburg, who did we have? The Rosh, Rabbeinu Asher. Maharam Mirotenburg says the following, and please pay attention to the language. Mi udabar ze pashat ha-tero. It became very common. Ki shamanu she'arbe gdolim shayu shochatim et bneihem uvnoteihem. We heard about, what is harbe gdolim? Many great people slaughtered their children in the time of the Crusaders. Ve'gam rabbi koleminus asa ken bekina matcheret amar she'u many. And it seems to be for me that I can bring maybe re'aya to give permission to this minhag. Tekiyehi de'amar yachol keshaul. Talmud lomar ached imchem enafshotechem edrosh achana mikenu neima de'aureget chaveron mutar. He brings the idea from Shaul, and in order to save some time, because it's becoming a little late and I want to respect your time as well, he brings the idea from Shaul. Shaul knew what? He says to the Nar, push me, because Yaboa Arelim Pen Yaboa Arelim Udekaruni Veit Alelubi. They will stab me and they will what? Humiliate me. They will torture me. And therefore kill me. From here you see that you can ask to be killed, or someone is a mitzvah to kill you in order to avoid what? Suffering, humiliation, and all sorts of things, and this is the heter that the Maharam Mirotenburg finds. But then he says, take a look. Umi shemat inocha parah mutila azal hachasidim hareshonim. He says that those who demand that those people will bring an atonement for what they did, for slaughtering the children, mutila. What is mutila? Blasphemous on the hachasidim hareshonim. Now tell me. Is that a halachic claim? That's respect. Don't dismiss what the other rabbi said. But you see, the Maharam of Rotenburg cannot really find a halachic justification. He's stuck, but he has tremendous respect. Ve'achrei shekavanat yitzro haya letuvah, and especially after we know that those great people, their intent was all for good, מרוב אהבת יוצרינו, from the love for our creator, התברך שמו פגע ונגע במחמד עיניו, גם הם חידו את פניו על ככה. He did it, meaning they did it, because they what? Their love and passion to Hashem, their creator. Is that a halachic discussion here? Or is that an emotional one? How do I do it in terms of time? Okay, we're definitely going to skip page number 4.
Take a look at page number 5 for just a second.
Before we go into page number 5, I will just give you a little synopsis until now.
We try to justify it halakhically from the Gemara in Gittin or from Shaul. You are with me, everyone? Hello?
Yeah.
Wow, that was a good yes. I guess it's really late. We tried to find the halakh justification. We didn't really find it. It's all shaky. The Maharam Mirotenburg gives us a totally different perspective, which is what? Leave alone now the halakha. That's what they felt when they did it, because that's what they thought is an act of love and commitment to Hashem. Now don't forget, for us it's very hard to imagine. The Crusaders came in the name of their God with tremendous passion, which also they claim that their God suffered. Sometimes the emotional reaction from the Jewish community was what? We need to show that we are not less. We don't have less emunah than you. And therefore, they created this Kiddush Hashem, this sanctification of the name of Hashem, without asking a rabbi. It sounds like very much like a Pinchas. It's like halakha ve'ein morim ken. There is no substantial halakhic proof for it. That's what we felt at that time. We found some kind of a little bit of halakha that can justify it, but not really to clear it. And we're going to add to it what? The emotional reaction to the historical circumstances that took place in the 11th century until the end of the 13th century. We see it in the 16th century. Rav Shlomo ben Yechiel Luria, and Yav Shel Shlomo de Barshan, totally create a paradigm shift in terms of what you are allowed to do and what you are not allowed to do when there is a pogrom that is coming into the Jewish community. And the she'ela, the question is, din she'asur lachbol ulevayesh etmo v'avur tzorech mamon, ve'la'arog atzmo asur afilu mityare she'lo ya'aviru al dat, ve'kal v'chomer she'asur lishchot banav ve'et ha'gzera. He says that you are not allowed to want to harm yourself or to embarrass yourself for money. You are not allowed to kill yourself, even if you are afraid that you will be converted to Christianity. And definitely that you are not allowed to kill your children in the time of the decree. אבל להצית את הבית באש מותר. But you are allowed to set your house on fire and stay there. You are allowed to set your house on fire and to be killed and not to convert into Christianity, but you are not allowed to slaughter your children and you are not allowed to kill yourself. First you see immediately what? Passive versus active. So the only thing you are allowed to do is passively you set the house on fire and you are there. Okay. I don't know if that's okay, but that's... But the thing is that immediately said you are not allowed to kill your children. They did it. What exactly happened between 11th, 13th century to the 16th century in terms of Jews-Christians relationships? There are no more crusaders. Even if there is a Christian pogrom against a Jewish community, it's not really about they are going to convert you. They want what? They want to kill you, maybe because they have enough from you, or they want your money. Therefore, you shouldn't kill your children. So, what will be the sanctification of the name of Hashem, Kiddush Hashem, in the time of the Marshal?
Destroy your possessions.
The what?
Destroy your possessions.
To restore your possessions,
destroy your possessions,
set your house on fire, or if you are there, you are there, or just set your house on fire so they have nothing to find, and you will be saved. The idea here is what? A, the Kiddush Hashem changed. We don't need to find halachic sources to try to substantiate something that we don't agree with. The Maharshal said against the Maharam Mirotenburg, against the Aguda, against Rabbi Yitam, everyone who says that Achronim do not dispute Rishonim, okay? Everyone, he disputed and all, because the circumstances changed. Kiddush Hashem changed, and therefore the halacha. Now, we are skipping Milchamot HaYehudim. We have enough of them. מלחמות היהודים we have enough. This is a testimony from Josephus about the big speech that Eladar gave in perhaps in Masada, how they can should all commit suicide because that was Ratzon Hashem. It's interesting. Elazar, what?
They committed murder,
right, that's true. Elazar, by the way, didn't know what is Ratzon Hashem, what is not Ratzon Hashem. He didn't want to fall in the hands of the Romans because for them, freedom was the religion, not God. It was freedom. Okay? Different thing. Now, last thing. In Shelot v'Tshuvot of Mimamakim, Rabbi Ephraim Oshe, who was in Ghetto Kovna, and then it was published, if I'm not mistaken, in the 50s, his Shelot v'Tshuvot. Some of the questions there are proper questions for Tisha B'Av if you want to cry.
We do one every year here, Shabbat Lifnei Yom HaShoah, every year.
כן. השאלות שלו, עכשיו נתרגם. The questions of Rabbi Ephraim Oshri are, I would say, to die for, but it's really horrible questions that he was asked in the time of horrible times for the Jewish people. I just came from Poland with my shul. We had like a shul mission. I came last Monday, and then I flew to Memphis. But when you learn the questions and you see the places, it's unbelievable what kind of answers he had to give. So I will bring you one she'ela, and with that we will conclude, and then we'll make a little summary, and then we'll have food for thought. The question was, ביום וב מרחשוון, שנת תפשין בית, יומיים לפני החורבן הנורא של גטו קובנה, 2 days before the destruction of the Kovna ghetto, when thousands of Jews were basically marched to their death and they were sent to the trains and going to be annihilated. Someone came to him, one of the Nichbadei Ha'ir. It may be someone from the Judenreich. I don't know who he was, he doesn't mention his name. And he says, he came to Rabbi Ephraim Oshri and he asked him the following. He says, look, they are going to slaughter my wife, they are going to slaughter my children, and then they are going to kill me. I can't. I just can't see it. I just can't. Can I kill myself? Can I commit suicide? And also, if I commit suicide, would you bury me? Problem. This tshuva has, I think, 2 or 3 pages. I didn't bring all of it here, obviously. And he goes, Labriot, he goes through Isurei Deoraita of committing suicide, and then Shat Adchak, and Shat Zera. And then he says the following. Take a look at the tshuva. I'm really skipping a lot, so I'm not doing justice to his tshuva, but I want to conclude with the understanding of how Kiddush Hashem shifted. He says like this, תשובה. כי כמה פעמים טענו כלפי היהודים על שאינם מאבדים עצמם לדעת כמו שעשו יהודי ברלין. בדבר הזה יש בו משום חילול השם. לפני שזה היה מראה כאילו אין ליהודים ביטחון וחסדי השם שיצילם מידיהם הטמאות והארורות של הצוררים ימח שמם. He says, for us in the time of Shoah, in the time of the Holocaust, for us קידוש השם is what? Is to stay alive. The Jews in Berlin, he said, some of them, or many of them, committed suicide. But we, in Poland, and in Kovna ghetto, only 3 people committed suicide. Because we wanted to show the Nazis. That's what? That Kiddush Hashem is not what they want to kill us. And we're definitely not going to help them. We're not going to kill ourselves. We are going to what?
Live.
To stay alive and to survive, which, by the way, might be one of the reasons why people would wake up in the morning and would like to continue to have one more day in Auschwitz. Why would you want to be alive? Tov moti mechayai, said Yuna, or Eliyahu Navi, which are, by the way, they are connected, Yuna and Eliyahu. It is incredible to think, why would you like to wake up in Auschwitz for the next day? Answer is, this is the Kiddush Hashem that is being required of me today. So basically what happened is that from killing myself passively, actively, killing your own children, or putting yourself, you know, in danger, knowing that you're going to be butchered like Simcha Cohen, to what? To the 16th century, when destroy your monetary possessions but keep alive, to the Shoah that is what? That it's, I'm going to survive, and this is the Kiddush Hashem for me. Now, fast forward, 71 years later, Medinat Israel, what is Kiddush Hashem now in Medinat Israel? First, to stay alive. B, to win a war. C, to bring aid to every calamity in the world. How many of us, when we see that there is a, I don't know, a tsunami, or there is an earthquake, and there is a, the first delegation is obviously the IDF, what do we say? First, we condemn the United Nations. How could they put it in the CNN, right? And the CNN are anti-Semites, right? Okay, after we go through all this drill, what do we say? Such a Kiddush Hashem. That's what we say. Kiddush Hashem now, and this is, by the way, we should be very proud of Hashem. Kiddush Hashem is what is to be a light unto the nations. We are starting to fulfill this prophetic vision. Because what does it mean to be light unto the nations? It's to be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim in everything we do. Rabbi Yochanan said in the Gemara that he lamented on the fact that he didn't walk four amot and four amot with tefillin, so that was Chilul Hashem. Or Rav will not buy behakafa, what is behakafa? On credit. So people would not think that he what? That he doesn't pay. Kiddush Hashem manifests itself in every facet of our lives, which is much better than death. Kiddush Hashem in the 11th to the 13th century was more of the stories of the Akedah, of giving everything, which is obviously a component of Kiddush Hashem, don't get me wrong. But halachically it was very hard to justify, as we saw. They just have a status of what? Of Hasidei Ashkenaz. We don't judge them. 16th century, it moves towards a different direction. Shoah, stay alive. 21st century, and let's keep it alive. Being, Bezrat Hashem, a light unto the nations. Thank you very much. Wow.